Good morning and welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. We are so thankful and blessed to have you worship our risen Savior Jesus Christ with us here this morning. This is truly the season to be thankful, and I want to highlight a couple announcements here, give you and I a couple different ways to express our thanksgiving. In your bulletin, you'll notice the pamphlet insert for the Samaritan's Purse, which is the Operation Christmas Child. Once again, we will be partaking in packing shoe boxes to be sent all around the world for these young children to give them the gift of Christmas, the gift of love. And this is one way that we truly can share with others how thankful we are for God's gift to us. The second way is another practical way. You'll notice in your bulletin just another slip. And once again, this year, we will be filling these out. They will be used to be put up on the bulletin in the fellowship hall. And just write down real briefly what you are thankful for this year. And also on the back of your bulletin, notice with me that on November 8th, there will be a new Bible study that will be starting titled The War Room Bible Study. And you can read more about it there. And so please make note of the other announcements, and as God leads, may you and I just take part and be truly thankful for all that God has done for us. If you would bow your heads and your hearts and let us give thanks to the risen Christ, the loving Lord, Jesus, our coming King, here this morning. Gracious King, precious Jesus, we thank you for all that you bless us with. We thank you for just the mercy, the forgiveness, and the peace, and the truth, and just the love that you lavish upon all of our lives today. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to praise and honor you and to sing praises unto your holy name. And we thank you, O Jesus, for just a wonderful opportunity, privilege, and honor that you have given us today just to walk with you anew and to walk with you afresh here in this day, November 1st, 2015. What a blessedness that is today. And so, Father, we invite you into this presence of this holy time of worship, and we ask that you would take it and use it, glorify yourself through it, and above all, change us in it. We thank you, O Christ, and we bless you now. In the wondrous and the glorious name of Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen.
It's so good to be in the house of the Lord today, amen. As we stand and get ready to praise our Lord, let's turn to our neighbor and say, God has plans for you.
As we bow our heads, Father, we do give you praise. So you are such a wonderful and awesome God, and you want only the best for us. You have plans for us, plans for an abundant life, plans not to have to feel bad, plans not to have to look in our past, only plans for a bright, bright future, Lord, and you're going to provide that future for us. As circumstances sometimes happen, we sometimes, I know myself, Lord, I lean on my own understanding instead of your understanding, and I'm working hard to do that, Lord. Allow us to do that every day, every single day, to learn to rely on you and your word, and you will give us that abundant life. Father, we ask a special blessing over the service. In all things, we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. Junior worship is now dismissed for those in kindergarten through sixth grade. And you can go with Nikki, who has a special lesson prepared especially for you here this morning. This morning's scripture reading comes to us from the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter. And this is found in your pew Bible on page 1666. If you're utilizing that, I'll be reading out of the New King James Version, which will read a little bit different. But follow along as we listen to a reading from the Gospel of John. We will be looking at the first 10 verses of the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, beginning in verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and will find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they, that you may have life, and that they, that you may have it more abundantly." The reading from God's word. As we continue this time of worship with the giving of our tithes and offerings, if the ushers would please come, may we all give back a portion of what God has blessed us with.
For the blessings and the mercies that you so graciously grant unto us every day, Father, we do thank you. We now place on your altar this morning our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them, and bless us, your servants, and your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. This morning we're continuing our series titled The Abundant Life. This morning I want to share with you what the secret to living out the abundant life is. And friends, it's all summed up in one question. And that one question is this: is that a wise thing to do? We're going to pivot a little bit here, and we were going to look at abundant finances. We may come back to that a little bit later. But I feel it's so essential that we understand how we are to live out the abundant life. You see, God doesn't leave us out there not knowing. He doesn't leave us out there not understanding. He calls us to this level of life. And we can always understand what it is that we are to do by asking the simple question, is that a wise thing to do? We find ourselves here this morning in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. And right in the midst of this book, the Apostle Paul writes this letter, and Ephesus was a town, it was a city, it was a port city, and there was many people that would come and they would travel through that city, but it was also a city that allowed many things to take place. There were many things that happened there that we would just be aghast at, and we would not even really believe that they happened, and yet they did. All in the name of religion, all in the name of belief, all in the name of serving some sort of deity, they did these certain things. And they were horrific things: child sacrifices, temple prostitution, and all kinds of different things took place. And the Apostle Paul, he plants this church in the midst of this economic crossroads, if you will. And this church began to flourish. This church began to grow. But amazingly, something happened throughout the years that many of the people in the church, they began to waver, and they began to falter, and they began to go back into the old ways and to accept some of the old practices that the Apostle Paul had called them out of and called them from. And so right in the middle of this letter, we see three verses. And we see these three verses, and if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to only read verses 15, 16, and 17. The Apostle Paul says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." In the original text, that word "understand" is actually a command. And you know, I've pondered and I've thought, how on earth is it possible for someone to command someone else to understand what the will is of that individual? And yet in God's word, we are commanded to understand what God's will is. And the way that we understand is by going back two verses, and we see the way we understand God's will is by asking the question, is that a wise thing to do? I want us to know that the heart of God is this, is that he doesn't want to just levy on you and me a bunch of rules and do's and don'ts. He wants the best for you. He wants the best for me. He wants the abundant life for you to live. That's what Jesus said he came, so that you and I could have life, and life to the full. The travesty of our day is this, is that many Christians, they never experience that because they never ask the question, is that a wise thing to do? And friends, I'm going to pause here, and I'm going to differentiate, and I'm going to speak to the elders here for a moment, and then I'm going to speak to the younger here for a moment. If you're 60 years and up, I'm going to tell you that culturally, you had a culture that was seeking to move you in making wise decisions. Let that sink in. I grew up in the 70s and the 80s. And even in the 70s and 80s, the culture said that certain societal moral issues were just non-acceptable. Yet in our day, we accept it all. And so before we look at other individuals that are younger, before we look at them and say, I don't understand how you're doing such and such, I don't understand, we need to realize that as the Apostle Paul said, the days are evil, friends. Back in the 50s, in the 40s, in the 60s, and even in the 70s, yes, there were the woes and there was those issues. But largely, the culture as a whole, society as a whole, was moving all people in one general direction. And so, friends, we need to understand we have undergone a huge cultural shift. And I'm going to speak to those of you who are under 60. You and I, we need to understand that our culture is seeking to move us in a way that is counter to God, is seeking to move us and take us in a direction that is contrary to God's will. And we've got to grasp that. And before we think that it's us against them, friends, we've got to realize that those of you who have lived more than 60 years, you have something to offer, and it's called wisdom. You have something to offer, and it's called experience. And those of us that are younger, we have something that we need to do, and that's to ask those individuals who have gone down the path of life further than we have and seek their knowledge, their wisdom, and their understanding. But what is happening in our churches all across our country is this. We have the older generation being pitted against the younger generation, and it often looks like this. I don't understand why such and such are doing this. I don't understand why they don't understand me. And friends, it's a cultural, it's a societal thing. And we got to grasp the day in which we live. They are evil today. They are seeking to move people in a way that is contrary to God, in a way that is counter, you know, to what God would have for you and for me. And when we ask that question to seek to live out the abundant life, is that a wise thing to do? It's no secret to understand why someone who is 60, 70, 80 years old would have a different answer than someone who is 10, 12, 15, 20, 30 years old. Because think of what the culture, the society is saying is acceptable. It's so drastically different, friends. And we have to have a voice. And this is the heart of God, friends. This is the motive of the church. This should be the reason for why the church exists, to be that light, to shine that light, and to illuminate a different way of life for all people to live in such a way that it's so drastically different than what the world has to offer. That's the abundant life, friends. And that is God's heart. He wants you and me to experience the abundant life. But he is the only one who offers and provides the way for you and for me to live out this abundant life. And the connection, friends, is this. It's in Jesus Christ, the Son. We could look at 1 Corinthians, and we could look at even Proverbs, and we could see that Jesus is the wisdom. He is the power. He's not just the power, but he is the wisdom of God. Let that sink in. James tells us that if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask, and God will give to all liberally without holding anything back. So we need to look at where we are looking to receive wisdom from. We need to ask the questions, is that a wise thing to do, before we just run roughshod and go off and do what we want to do? Things that we think are wise in our eyes may not truly be wise. Things that we think are acceptable in our eyes may truly not be acceptable. Not because it's something that we would do or something someone else would not do, but it's because it prevents you and me from experiencing God's abundant life. There's many different filters, the filter of the past, the filter of the present, and the filter of the future. And you can think, okay, if I have this predisposition to do something, it's probably not wise for me to go to a certain area because I might stumble and I might fall. In the present, if you think about what the circumstances are, if I'm tapped out financially, it's probably not wise for me to place down a piece of credit card, a piece of plastic, and buy something and go further in debt. The future is another lens. We need to look and say, hey, I want to go here. This is where God's leading me. Is it wise for me to date this person? Is it wise for me to marry this person? If God's leading you in a certain way, you need to look at what is wise in your life. And friends, Jesus is the one who lived out a totally true, wise life. He's the one who lived perfection. He is the perfection incarnate that came to earth and to live and to die so that you and I would have access and we would have the ability to tap into his wisdom. The one who created you, the one who made you, you have that ability to tap into him. And so we ask the question, is that a wise thing to do? You fill in the blank. You ask the question. You see, it's simple when we think of this. We walk circumspectly, we look and we see, okay, you know what, this is where I'm at, this is my past, these are my tendencies, it's probably not wise for me to go here, I'm going to go over here. And we think, okay, this is where I'm at, I want to get out of debt, it's probably not wise that I go out and I buy this thing that I really don't need. This is where God's leading me. He's leading me to go to school. He's leading me to follow him. He's leading me to give more. He's leading me to serve on mission trips. And it's probably not wise for me to encumber my life. You see, when we boil it down this way, it's very simple, friends. And it's boiled down with one thing. And it's the question, right, that the Apostle Paul asked the church at Ephesus. And it's to ask this. And this is how you and I will always know. We will always know God's will. When we ask, is that a wise thing to do? And it's all based upon whether or not you and I are willing to tap in to the death of Jesus Christ. Because when he died on Calvary, he gave you access. He gave me access because he is the wisdom of God. He is the one who stands there in the streets, as Proverbs says, calling aloud to all of us, come to me and I will give you wisdom. He is the one who says, here I am. Here is my knowledge. Here is the one that can answer your questions. It's very simple, friends. Very simple. It's very simple. And friends, God wants you and me to live the abundant life. He wants that for you and I so bad that he sent Jesus to the cross. But the ultimate desire has to be in your heart and in mine. Are we going to surrender our choices? And yes, I said surrender, and this is the call of God right here. The three things, and we didn't even get to the PowerPoint, but that's okay. You can look them up on your own. I've referenced the verse numbers in your bulletin. The call of God is this. Am I going to surrender our decisions, every single decision, to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? That's the call, friends. In a few moments, Ray is going to come up here and we're going to bless the elements and we're going to invite everybody to partake in the Holy Communion. As an act of you surrendering your life by coming forward in a physical manner and saying, this is my Lord, this is Jesus, my King, this is Christ, my Savior. As you commit that physical act, I commend you all and I challenge all of us to surrender your questions, your decisions, the things in life that you may not have the answers to surrender them to Christ. And you know what will happen when you do? You may not get an answer right away. But I will tell you this, there's four types of people spoken about in the books of Proverbs, the simple, and those are the young people. You have the scoffers, those who don't believe. You have the fools, those who just disregard everything. And then you have the wise. It all boils down to what kind of person do you and I want to be? Do we want to be simple-minded? Do we want to be a scoffer and say, that God thing, that's not for me? Do I want to be a fool that disregards everything? Or do I want to be wise? And if I want to be wise, I'm going to surround myself with people that are wise. I'm going to surround my life with others that who are seeking God. I am going to submit and to surrender all my decisions to the risen Lordship of Jesus Christ. Just as when we come forward, I'm going to say, Lord, you are the Lord of every single decision that I make. That's the secret to the abundant life. That's the secret. For the last 20 some odd years, when I stumbled through the book of James, and it said, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask, and God will give. Part of my regular prayer time is, Lord, grant me wisdom. Because I don't know about you, I've been in situations, I've been in certain circumstances and times and different difficulties and dilemmas that, quite honestly, there was no win in it. You don't know which way to go. You don't know what to do. You don't know which way, quite frankly, to turn. And the only way that I knew to turn was to turn to the foot of the cross, to turn to Jesus Christ, the living Lord, the one who came and died and sacrificed his life so that I could have access to the wisdom to know what to do. And sometimes God doesn't give you the wisdom immediately. Sometimes he allows you and I to struggle and to squirm and to wrestle with him as Jacob did in the Old Testament. But the funny thing about God is this, is he always lets you and I win. Always, just like he did with Jacob. And he will never let you down. He will never walk away from you. He will never turn his back on you. The scriptures attest that he will never leave you nor forsake you. And so I implore you to surrender your decisions to the living lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. And if you do that on a consistent basis, and I'm not saying just one thing, and I just want to illuminate one last component here. I'm not saying, okay, I did it once and it's all good and done, fine and dandy. No, I'm saying on a consistent, a time consistent element over the days, over the weeks, over the months, over the years, if you do that consistently and wholeheartedly, then yes, you will begin to experience the abundant life. You see, time is a funny thing. It's a funny thing when we think that, you know, I'll do something one time and it doesn't work and then I'm done. I'm walking away. Think about eating dinner with your family. You miss one dinner, it's not going to make a hill of beans a difference. You miss 365 dinners, now you have relationship issues. Now you have things that are disintegrating and falling apart. You make one dinner, it's not going to make a hill of beans a difference. You make a dinner every day for a full year, and you will begin to see the relationships in your family that are transformed. And that's what I'm talking about, friends. It's about the time invested, not just submitting or surrendering your decisions to Christ one time over. I'm talking about the weeks, the months, the years, over and over and over and over and over again. We got to get out of this instantaneous mentality. We have to remove that. We have to say, okay, Jesus, you know what? I'm not hearing anything, but I'm not stopping. I'm not hearing your answer, and I'm knowing and acknowledging you are the almighty, all-wise one, and I'm not approaching you. I'm not going to quit approaching you until you give me an answer. That's the mentality we've got to get to. We have to understand what influence our society and our culture has upon all of us, on all of our young people. We have to understand, and we need to understand and realize the days are evil, but Christ is good. Jesus is the all-wise one. He's the all-wisdom and all the power of God. And so over and over and over, we surrender our decisions to Jesus. It may be a week, it might be a month, it might be a year. I've gone through times in my life where it's taken over a year before God has shown up. And you know what? I am so thankful and so blessed that God had given me the internal perseverance and internal fortitude to say, no, I'm not stopping. I'm not quitting because I am surrendering every decision that I have in this matter to you, O Christ. See, the abundant life, boil it down to one thing. And the question, is that a wise thing to do? Fill in the gaps. Any situation, any circumstance, anything that you or I will ever face can be filled in that question. Is that a wise thing to do? Now, in our wise in our own eyes, it may be. Wise in other people's eyes, it may be. But when we surrender those decisions to the Almighty risen Christ, that's a whole different animal. And so as we come forward to partake in the holy elements of the bread and the cup of communion, may we mentally, may we emotionally, and may we physically, when we get up out of our pews, choose to begin a lifestyle of surrendering your decisions to Christ. I'm passionate about this, and here's the reason why. God wants the best for you. I want the best for you. Quite frankly, I get tired of dealing with the issues of poor choices, and that's all it is. I want what God wants for you all. I want what God wants. And what He wants for every single one of you here this morning is He wants you and me to experience the abundant life, because that's what Jesus came to purchase for you and for me. And sadly and tragically, many individuals who claim the name of Christ never ever experience that abundance, because they fail to surrender their question of life. Is that a wise thing to do? Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for your forgiveness. And Father, we confess right now that many times we've run roughshod and we've answered questions and made decisions without consulting you first. And Lord Jesus, you have commanded us in your holy word to submit and to surrender, to know what your will is for our life. And oh Christ, we do ask for your forgiveness in this manner. We ask for your forgiveness of the times we've run ahead of you, for the times we've lagged behind, for the times that we've gone left and you said, hey, you need to go right, or the times we've gone right and you said, hey, go left, or the times that we've just shirked back and walked away. And you said, hey, move forward. And so, Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness. We pray for your discipline, your diligence, for your resolve, for your perseverance in seeking and submitting and surrendering the questions and the decisions of life that we have to you and to you only. And so, Father, we pray for this resolve. We bless you now, O Christ. We thank you for the opportunity to approach your holy table, the table of the bread and the table of the cup, with all humility, acknowledging the supreme sacrifice that you have given for all of us, and acknowledging that you are the wisdom of God, O Jesus, and acknowledging you are the only one who truly, truly, truly has all the answers, for you, the one who created everything. Nothing is new under the sun, and so we bless you for the knowledge and the wisdom that you have, O Jesus. And so, Father, may over the course of time, may over the course of the weeks and the months and the years, may we submit these decisions to you, and may we truly listen and hear and abide and obey as you lead. And so, Father, for the bread and the cup, we thank you for them. And we pray that you would bless them and honor them and uplift them, and may the symbolism of what they hold and what they mean, may it truly sink deep within our soul. We thank you for the bread. We thank you for the cup. Bless them as we meet around your table, we pray. In the holy name of Christ, we pray. Amen. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, He took the bread and he broke it. He said, "This is my body broken for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." Then likewise, Jesus also took the cup and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for the remission of sins. Take, drink in remembrance of me." We have an open communion table. If you are visiting here, we invite everyone to come and partake of the bread and the cup. You will be given a piece of bread, and you will take that piece of bread and dip it in the juice, and then you will take both together. And so as the Spirit of God leads, won't you all? It is our custom here at Trinity to take part in a benevolence offering after we take part in communion. So if the ushers would please come, I would just point our attention before the ushers come first here to the bulletin insert once again. And I hope and I pray, I know for me, I truly am thankful for the wisdom that God has given to you and to me to be at your disposal. And when we look at this, don't think of things such as houses, cars, jobs, things like that. Think of those things that God truly blesses us with. And friends, that's the wisdom to know if that, whatever that is a wise thing to do. As we partake in giving a sacrificial gift as Jesus has given, if the ushers would please come. The benevolence offering goes to Trinity Care, and that helps those who are in need with food and utility bills and rent and just different things like that. We help those in our congregation as well as those within the community. So as the ushers come around, may we give back sacrificially as Jesus gave to us.
Saved a wretch like
As we depart, may the God who is all wise, who is all knowing, who knows the beginning from the end and all that is the beginning and all that is in the middle, may he truly bless you, keep you, and fill you with his love, his peace, and his wisdom. May he find you seeking him and running to him and submitting and surrendering the questions and the decisions of life that you will have each and every day. And may you truly understand through the wisdom of Christ, our wisdom and power of God, the Savior, the living Lord, know if what it is that you're wrestling with is a wise thing to do. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you and I depart in peace. Amen.
Lord, I need